this age. I'm your host, Catfish Rivers, on Spear Players Radio, broadcasting around the world at spearplayersradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spearplayersradio.com. Schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Now I want you to just put on your headphones and clear your mind. Shake off anything that might be stuck in a loop in your brain. And just relax. And let the river flow. Take you away. Catch you on the other side of the river's edge. Bye-bye.
To visit us, but it will never find the road back. Good, good, let them rot in the stifling air of their flower-spun graves. Look to another mountain far from the international date line. Find the desert's mystic dawn, the cave where eyes are melted, the glacier where the living die, and there is the beauty they could never find. Look into the grave. Look into the truth that is dead. Look into the land of the prophet. Look past the living streets of Boston. Look finally into the eyes of the Beacon Street Union.
Reverend Suzuki speaking for ECHO, the environmental children's organization. We're a group of 12 and 13-year-olds trying to make a difference. Vanessa Setti, Morgan Geisler, Michelle Quigg, and me. We've raised all the money to come here ourselves, to come 5,000 miles to tell a you adult you must change your ways. Coming up here today, I have no hidden agenda. I am fighting for my future. Losing my future is not like losing an election, losing my future, or a few points on the stock market. Losing my future is not like losing an election, or a few points on the stock market. I am here to speak for all generations to come. I am here to speak on behalf of the starving children around the world whose cries go unheard. I'm here to speak for the countless animals dying across this planet because they have nowhere left to go. Change your ways. I am afraid to go out in the sun now because of the holes in our ozone. I'm afraid to breathe the air because I don't know what chemicals are in it. I used to go fishing in Vancouver, my home, with my dad, until just a few years ago, we found the fish full of cancers. And now we hear of animals and plants going extinct, every day, vanishing forever. In my life, I have dreamt of seeing the great herds of wild animals, jungles and rainforests, jungles full of birds and butterflies. But now I wonder if they will even exist for my children to see. Did you have to worry of these things when you were my age? Did you? All this is happening before our eyes. All this is happening before our eyes. And yet we act as if we have all the time we want and all the solutions. I'm only a child and I don't have all the solutions. I want you to realize, neither do you. You don't know how to fix the holes in our ozone layer. Neither do you. You don't know how to bring the salmon back up and not dead stream. You don't know how to bring back an animal now extinct. And you can't bring back the forest that once grew where there is now a desert. If you don't know how to fix it, please stop breaking it. Stop. People, organizers, reporters, or politicians, but really, your mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, and all of you are someone's child. I'm only a child, yet I know we are all part of a family, 5 billion strong. In fact, 30 million. country. This is what one child told us. I wish I was rich. And if I were, I would give all the street children food, clothes, medicine, shelter, and love and affection. If a child on the streets who has nothing is willing to share, why are we who have everything still so greedy? I can't stop thinking that these are children my own age, that it makes a tremendous difference where you are born. That I could be one of those children living in the favela is real. I could be a child starving in Somalia, or a victim of war in the Middle East, or a beggar in India. I am only a child, yet I know if all the money spent on war was spent on finding environmental answers and ending poverty and finding treaties, what a wonderful place this earth could be. At school, in kindergarten, you teach us how to behave. You teach us to not to fight with others, to work things out, to respect others, to clean up our mess, not to hurt other creatures, to share, not to greedy. Then why do you go out and do the things you tell us not to do? Do not forget who you're doing this for. We are your own children. You are deciding what kind of a world you're growing up in. Parents should be able to comfort their children by saying, everything's going to be all right. It's not the end of the world. And we're doing the best we can. But I don't think you can say that to us anymore. Are we even on your list of priorities? My dad always says, you are what you do, not what you say. Well, what you do makes me cry at night. You grown-ups say you love us, but I challenge you, please, make your actions reflect your words. Thank you.
You have stripped me of my head, hard as a brain. Let me go. What an odd thing it is to see an entire species, billions of people, playing with, listening to, meaningless tonal patterns, occupied and preoccupied for much of their time by what they call music. This, at least, was one of the things about human beings that puzzled the highly cerebral alien beings, the Overlords, in Arthur C. Clarke's novel, Childhood's End. Curiosity brings them down to the Earth's surface to attend a concert. They listen politely, and at the end, congratulate the composer on his great ingenuity, while still finding the entire business unintelligible. They cannot think what goes on in human beings when they make or listen to music, because nothing goes on with them. They themselves, as a species, lack music. We may imagine the Overlords ruminating further back in their spaceships. This thing called music, they would have to concede, is in some way efficacious to humans, central to human life. Yet it has no concepts, makes no propositions. It lacks images, symbols, the stuff of language. It has no power of representation. It has no necessary relation to the world. There are rare humans who, like the Overlords, may lack the neural apparatus for appreciating tones or melodies. But for virtually all of us, music has great power, whether or not we seek it out or think of ourselves as particularly musical. This propensity to music shows itself in infancy, is manifest and central in every culture, and probably goes back to the very beginnings of our species. Such musicophilia is a given in human nature. It may be developed or shaped by the cultures we live in, by the circumstances of life, or by the particular gifts or weaknesses we have as individuals. But it lies so deep in human nature that one must think of it as innate, much as E.O. Wilson regards biophilia, a feeling for living things. Perhaps musicophilia is a form of biophilia, since music itself feels almost like a living thing. Given the obvious similarities between music and language, it is not surprising that there has been a running debate for more than 200 years as to whether they evolved in tandem or independently, and if the latter, which came first. Darwin speculated that musical tones and rhythms were used by our half-human ancestors during the season of courtship, when animals of all kinds are excited not only by love, but by strong passions of jealousy, rivalry, and triumph, and that speech arose secondarily from this primal music. His contemporary Herbert Spencer held the opposite view, conceiving that music arose from the cadences of emotional speech. Rousseau, a composer no less than a writer, felt that both had emerged together as a sing-song speech and only later diverged. William James saw music as an accidental genesis, a pure incident of having a hearing organ. Steven Pinker, in our own time, has expressed himself even more forcibly. What benefit could there be, he asks, echoing the Overlords, to diverting time and energy to making plinking noises? As far as biological cause and effect are concerned, music is useless. It could vanish from our species, and the rest of our lifestyle would be virtually unchanged.
You are listening to The River's Edge. I'm your host, Catfish Rivers, on Spirit Plants Radio, the home of blinking noise music. Broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. And more, more, more.
We'll be right back. $2.27, January 17th, 1956. I can't stand my own mind. America, when will we end the human war? Go fuck yourself with your atom bomb. I don't feel good, don't bother me. I won't write my poem till I'm in my right mind. America, when will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes? When will you look at yourself through the grave? When will you be worthy of your million Trotskyites? America, why are your libraries full of tears? America, when will you send your eggs to India? I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks? America, after all, it is you and I who are perfect, not the next world. Your machinery is too much for me. You made me want to be a saint. There must be some other way to settle this argument. Burroughs is in Tangiers. I don't think he'll come back. It's sinister. Are you being sinister, or is this some form of practical joke? I'm trying to come to the point. I refuse to give up my obsession. America, stop pushing. I know what I'm doing. America, the plum blossoms are falling. I haven't read the newspapers for months. Every day somebody goes on trial for murder. America, I feel sentimental about the Wobblies. America, I used to be a communist when I was a kid. I'm not sorry. I smoke marijuana every chance I get. I sit in my house for days on end and stare at the roses in the closet. Whenever I go to Chinatown, I get drunk and never get laid. My mind is made up. There's going to be trouble. You should have seen me reading Marx. I have mystical visions and cosmic vibrations. America, I still haven't told you what you did to Uncle Max after he came over from Russia. I'm addressing you. Are you going to let your emotional life be run by Time magazine? I'm obsessed by Time magazine. I read it every week. Its cover stares at me every time I slink past the corner candy store. I read it in the basement of the Berkeley Public Library. It's always telling me about responsibility. Businessmen are serious. Movie producers are serious. Everybody's serious but me. It occurs to me that I am America. I'm talking to myself again. Asia is rising against me. I haven't got a Chinaman's chance. I'd better consider my national resources. My national resources consist of two joints of marijuana, millions of genitals, an unpublishable private literature that goes 1,400 mph, and 25,000 mental institutions. I say nothing about my prisons, nor the millions of underprivileged who live in my flower pots under the light of 500 suns. I have already abolished the whorehouses of France. Tangiers are the next to go. My ambition is to be president, despite the fact that I'm a Catholic. America, how can I write a holy litany in your silly mood? I will continue, like Henry Ford. My strophes are as individual as his automobiles, more so they're all different sexes. America, I will sell you strophes, 2,500 apiece, 500 down on your old strophe. America, free Tom Mooney. America, save the Spanish loyalists. America, Sacco and Vanzetti must not die. I am the Scottsboro Boys. America, when I was seven, Mama took me to communist cell meetings. They sold us garbanzos, a handful per ticket. A ticket cost a nickel and the speeches were free. Everybody was angelic and sentimental about the workers. It was all so sincere, you have no idea what a good thing the party was in 1835. Scott Nearing was a grand old man, a real mensch. Mother Bloor made me cry. I once saw Israel Amter plane. Everybody must have been a spy. America, you don't really want to go to war. America's them bad Russians. Them Russians, and them Chinamen, and them Russians. The Russia wants to eat us alive. The Russia's power mad. She wants to take our cars from out our garages. Her wants to grab Chicago. Her needs Red Readers' digests. Her wants our auto plants in Siberia. Him big bureaucracy running our filling stations. That no good. Ugh, him make Indians learn read. Him need big black niggers. Ah, her make us all work 16 hours a day. Help. America, this is quite serious. America, this is the impression I get from looking in the television set. America, is this correct? I'd better get right down to the job. It's true, I don't want to join the army or turn lathes and precision parts factories. I'm nearsighted and psychopathic anyway. America, I'm putting my queer shoulder to the wheel.
Freak, oh Lily, sometime. Come skipping through the winder sometime. Gonna high show winder sometime. Come skipping through the winder sometime. Freak, oh Lily. sometime. Come skipping through the winter sometime. Gonna hide my winter sometime. Come skipping through the winter sometime.
That's good.
Now, I tell you something. Now, I've been knowing that ever since I was about 5 years old.
Nearly 11 when I started to return. The night was unexpectedly dark, and it was as hot and close as the day. Hot and close. Hot, 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 and close. Hot, 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 and close. Close. Overhead, the clouds were driving fast, albeit not a breath stirred the shrubs about us. At first, I regarded little but the road before me. Then, abruptly, my attention was arrested by something that was moving rapidly down the opposite side of Mabry Hill, hot and close as the day. And this thing I saw, how can I describe it? Hot and close. Hot and close. A monstrous tripod, higher than many houses, striding over the young pine trees and smashing them. Smashing them. A walk smashing through the glittering metal, striding now across the heather. Articulate ropes dangling, dangling. Dangling, dangling. Through. Can you imagine a milking stool tilted and bowled violently along the ground? But instead of a milking stool, imagine a great body, hot and close as the day. Then suddenly the trees and the pine wood. Then suddenly the trees and the pine wood. Then suddenly the trees and the pine wood ahead of me were parted, as brittle reeds are parted by a man thrusting, 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 snapped off and driven headlong, thrusting, 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 huge, huge, thrusting. And I was hard, hot and close as the day. Meet it hard, meet it hard, meet it hard, 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 hard. The shafts smashed noisily. Meet it, meet it, meet it. Hard, hot and close as the day. And I was flung sideways and fell heavily into a shallow pool of water. I heard a slight scraping, rousing myself. Rousing myself. Rousing myself. I looked down. What the dickens? What the dickens? What the dickens? What a stiff dick, the dickens. Take some whiskey, I said. The dickens. Pouring out a stiff. What the dickens? What the dickens? Got a stiff dick, the dickens. And abruptly he sat down before the table. Put his head in his arms. He began to sob and weep like a little boy in a perfect passion of emotion. It was a long time before he could steady his nerves to answer my questions. And then he answered perplexingly and brokenly. It had only come into the rear. He withdrew and went very quietly downstairs. Throwing him into depression. We saw one shriveled old huge box and a score or more of flower pots containing orchids. I stopped and gripped his arm. Do you know what's over there? I said, pointing at the pine tops. Death, I shouted. Death is coming. Death, I shouted. Death is coming. Death, I shouted. Death is coming. Leaving him to digest that if he could. This time from the direction of Chertsey. A muffled thud. A woman screamed. A haziness rose over the treetops. Forthwith the ground heaved underfoot and a heavy explosion shook the air, leaving us astonished. Leaving us astonished. Leaving us astonished. Leaving us astonished. After a time, I discovered that I was hot and wet, with little pools of water about me on the stair carpet. I got up almost mechanically, went into the dining room and drank some whiskey. I was moved to change my clothes. With a queer feeling of impersonal interest, I turned my
desk
chair.
The only way you can
make
it. And there's no death here. There's no place for Satan. There's no place for anything at all. in the name of Jesus Christ. And I gotta tell you something, friend. You're pretty slick. I'll stand my ground. The gates of hell can't come against it. I'm going to be paying for that with blood. 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 You're free to eat from any tree you want. You can eat from that tree, or you can eat from the right tree. I'm free by the blood. You can't throw anything on me because I got the blood. The blood sets you free. If you want to throw all you can, I'll pass through the shadow, but I will not get it on me because I claim the blood, and the blood sets you free. And if you think who and you and your horde have been bugging me for the longest, would blow your mind away.
What do you mean?
Well, I've seen what you're doing.
Why?
Because it's important to me.
To who?
To me. And
what?
I was curious.
I don't know why.
What's the matter?
Nothing big.
I need to bring over a lamb.
What lamb would you want?
This one.
No, you don't.
Yes, ma'am. I have the lamb at this place. Is that feasible?
Nope.
Right. Why not?
Well, I should have been.
Lamb? You can't deny lamb.
No, nope, not due to the cop's phone number.
What?
Do you want to talk to the cop?
What are you talking about?
Well, my husband's home now. He belongs to that Jefferson County cop.
Yeah.
Talk to him. He came home to eat.
What are you talking about?
In Matthew 5, verse 9, Jesus said,
I'll meet you at the front door. I'm going to have a double-barrel shotgun in my hand. Now, try that for payment. Hey, why don't you buzz off, pal? I guarantee you stick that in your butt, too.
Herman Snodgrass? Herman Snodgrass. That's who I am. No, Snodgrass.
I don't know, brother. I don't know Gianella either. No, I didn't order nothing, bro. You cracked me up, man.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
What in the hell is a suction?
Hello?
Is Catherine there?
Hello?
Catherine there?
Yeah?
Hey, Catherine, what are you doing?
Oh, not much. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. What's going on?
Oh, just sitting here doing some work, that's all.
What are you doing tonight?
Nothing yet. What's up?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't really know anything to do tonight.
Oh, shit. Hold on.
Hey. Tom. Switch back and forth. I'll say one thing and then you say the next thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Not like this secret, yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I totally don't want to my mom
to drag.
No way, that sucks. So, you don't know of any parties?
No, not at all.
I think there's one in Boulder, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, boy. Are you guys tape recording here or what?
I didn't know there was two of us.
Well, because I could tell your voices apart.
No, this phone's weird that I'm on.
And then I hear that beeping. And remember, I sat in your apartment with that tape?
Yeah, we were recording you, actually.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Relax. So find a comfortable position. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Take a deeper breath. Deeper. I'm going to count from 10 to 1. On each descending number, feel yourself going deeper. 10. 9. Feel going deeper. 6, 7, 5, 3, low, 9, 2, 3, 1, 1, 6, 6, 6, deeper and deeper, 7, 7, 7, 3, 3, time, you're going to practice developing your psychic power. What is it you'd like information about that is beyond your present knowledge? Would you like knowledge about another person, an event, a thing, a subject? Think now about all the things that you'd like to see, that you'd like to sense in your mind clearly. To help you, we will program your ESP hat. A hat that gives you a measure of psychic ability when you mentally place it on your head. To use the hat, you have only to touch the roof of your mouth with the tip of your tongue on top of your head. And imagine the hat in place is now firmly on your head. Know that it's there. Imagine it. Create it. It's mental, but so is psychic ability. Whenever you wish to do any psychic work, simply touch the tip of your tongue with the tip of your tongue and think the words 1, 2, 3. What is your hat thinking about? I will count from 1 to 3, and at the count to 3, you'll get a sense of what your hat is doing tomorrow at noon. 1, 2, 3. Sense your hat. What is your hat doing tomorrow? Tomorrow. 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 Relax. Now draw a circle in the grass with your mind. Mentally, you're drawing a circle in the grass. There is now a circle in the grass. This is your circle in the grass, circle that you may use at any time to enhance your psychic abilities. You can sense the psychic circle as in front and away from you. We're going to count from 1 to 3, and at the count of 3, you will be standing in the center of the psychic tip of your tongue. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Once again, you've been listening to The River's Edge. And I've been your host, Catfish Rivers, on Spear Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at spearplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in. You can visit us on the web at spearplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. And you can visit me at catfishrivers.com. And I hope you do. Once again, you've been listening to The River's Edge. I'm Catfish Rivers, your host. And it was a pleasure having you.